party that will happen in the future. It's called a wedding feast in the book of Revelation, and it's worth us getting excited about. So we're going to look at the passage we have today, Revelation 19. We're going to start in verse 1, but let me set the scene for you. Revelation is a book of John the Revelator. It's funny how that works out. John receives a message from God, visions, a word that God wants to send out to a set of churches that are in a Greek geographical circle. These churches are sometimes apathetic about the faith, like, meh. And sometimes they're persecuted by the empire. And either way, they're suffering and they're struggling. And so John writes the book of Revelation and this letter, and it gets sent out to these churches. It's to encourage them, to inspire them, to help them stay true and faithful in challenging times, but it's also to get them excited about the party that is coming through Jesus. We're going to read it together. And I would like you to help me read this. It'll be on the screen. I would like you to read the underlined portions. Is that okay? Are you willing? Absolutely. Super duper. Here we go. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. Pause there. Who is this great prostitute, you might be asking? Well, in previous chapters of the book of Revelation, the prostitute represents the evil, corrupt kingdoms of the world. It's an image to represent what evil does to us, evil power, evil corruption. And this prostitute called Babylon is described as killing God's faithful people, turning them into martyrs. And Jesus comes to conquer the great prostitute. We'll continue reading in verse 3. And again, their voices rang out.
Praise the Lord.
Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out,
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And from the throne came a voice that said, Praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him.
For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, These are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Thank you, God, for this picture. We spent this whole month, discussing the spiritual discipline of celebration. And today we're concluding with this idea. It all ends with a party. It all ends with a party. Through the book of Revelation, we received the promise that the Lamb of God, Jesus, wounded and bloodied, he's described, conquers evil once and for all. He wipes all brokenness away from the creation and preserves it from brokenness and death in the future. And John uses this image of a wedding feast to kind of describe what it will be like when that party happens in the future. Now, when was the last time you were at a wedding reception or a wedding dinner or maybe an anniversary party or something like that? They are times of joy, times of deep joy, because they celebrate the love that two people have for one another, the joining together of two into one, and they also celebrate the lifelong commitment that these two people are making to one another. And in the same way, the marriage of Jesus and his people celebrate the love that has bonded them together, the unity that they now have in him, and the permanence of their connection for all time. Human and divine, heaven and earth. It all ends with a party, a wedding feast, when Jesus and his people are brought together forever. When we began our series, we said that not all celebrations are equal. And how we celebrate as followers of Jesus is going to be a little different. Sometimes people may celebrate to salve the things going on in their lives. Maybe they're lonely and they go to party to just feel a little less lonely. Maybe they're in pain in some area of their life and they go out partying to kind of forget the pain they're experiencing. It's an external activity to try to solve an internal issue. But at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the moment when Jesus and his people are finally brought together in wholeness, it's not about trying to fix something inside, because the inside has been fixed through Jesus. Everyone there has been fully and completely healed, made clean. You are fully you and fully present and fully loved in that moment. You're not running from anything. You're not hiding from anything. You're not trying to fix anything at all. You have already been made well by Jesus. And the people you're sitting across from at this great wedding feast are the same. Whole, pure, love, present. It's not about changing the internal, because the internal has been changed by Jesus. You're just present in the moment at the greatest party that will ever be. And the king who sits at the head of the table, who set it himself, who brought the bread and the wine, he looks at you, the wedding feast of the Lamb, and he says, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad you accepted my invitation. The angel said, write this down, John. Write it down, John. Make sure these churches know. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Write it down, John, so that they know. Make sure they know. And in the same way, we're invited. Make sure people know. Make sure people know. Blessed are they who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Make sure that we are sending out party invitations to the wedding feast of Jesus and his people. If you had to send out a party invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb, what would you write in it? I'll take some answers. What would you write in it? What would you want people to know about this feast? I'll just wait. It's fine. I'm very patient. Come and enjoy your freedom. That sounds like a good invitation. I would RSVP to that party. What else? You'll always be in the light. That's a good invitation. What else could we write in our invitations? Everybody's invited. Bring who you want. What was the other one?
Come and dance with joy before
Oh, that sounds good. I think there's a good DJ at the wedding feast of the Lamb. What do you think, Joy? I think there is. As the hymn we sang this morning, I think every harp has been strung, right? Anything else? Yeah.
This day is for you. We need you.
We need you. This day is for you. Yeah. It's not like this one that was like, you could make it, you could not make it. We don't really care either way. And it's not like the food could be kind of good. The company, so-so. When we're sending out invitations to the wedding feast of the Lamb, we're excited. And we want people to know just what it means to be invited. And we hope we invite them in a way that they're willing to RSVP to our invitation. Are you sending out invitations in your life at all? Are you just kind of hoping you'll see people there? Are you sending out invitations, or are you kind of just hoping you'll see some people there? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on him unless they believe? And how can they believe if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how will they go without being sent? And I would, in parentheses this morning, add, how can they come to a party we didn't invite them to? How can they respond to an invitation that we never sent? It all ends with a party. That's a good invitation. I have a few takeaways from really this whole series, but also from this morning that I want to share with you this morning as you consider this idea of party and invitation. Have you sent out invitations? People can't respond to an invitation you haven't sent. So have you sent one? If you're not, why aren't you? What does that mean? It's okay to be honest and say, yeah, I don't do that. I don't talk about that. I don't bring that up. That's okay to be honest about, but then ask yourself, why don't I? And see where that takes you. You know, last week in her testimony, Carol told us it could be just a text. Just a cute little, sweet little text like, hey, you want to come to Easter worship? It could be a Snapchat story. It could be a call, a Facebook invite, a conversation. It doesn't have to get complicated. Are you sending out invitations at all? Why not if you aren't? Number two, what kind of invitation are you sending then? Like, if you're sending one out, are you sending out one like this? Or are you sending out one that somebody wants to respond to through your life, through your words, through your choices? Are you inviting people to a party or a funeral? Number three, how are you celebrating then? You see, how we're celebrating right now is a witness to the party that's coming for those in Jesus. And so we've sent the invite, they've responded, sounds pretty good, and then they get to the party and they're like, oh, it was all talk, you know, sounded pretty good. Their marketing was really great, but when I got here, it didn't live up to what I had hoped. Are we celebrating in a way that people want to be a part of? Are we living in a way that people want to be a part of? We've all gone to parties we wish we hadn't gone to. And then we spend the whole time at that party thinking, how soon can I leave without being awkward, right? Actually, that's kind of how I feel at pretty much most parties. Because I'm shy and introverted and I go because I know I need to go. And then I get there and I'm like, don't be weird, don't be weird, don't be weird. Can I leave now? We've all gone to parties we wish we hadn't gone to. When people accept the invitation to our celebration of God, what Jesus has done, are they going to want to party with us? And finally, I'll invite our praise team forward, Scott. How is God inviting you or us as a church family to continue to celebrate throughout this whole year. You know, we gave out those calendars so that you could write down one thing each day, 31 days of celebration. And I've been doing that, and it's been really helpful for me to have something every day and then to look back and think, wow, God has been really good, really, really good. Will joy be a passing fad in your life here today and gone tomorrow, or will you commit in some way to living it out? As the video said, fighting for your joy in this world. Becky Plesic sent me a text of another idea about how we can be thankful and grateful. If you write something down, you stick it in a jar, and it accumulates throughout the year. And at the end of the year, you have a whole jar of things to celebrate, of God having done in your life, things that you are thankful for, proud of, things worth saying, thank you, Jesus. So, celebration going to be like a thing that we're like, yeah, that sounds good, and then we kind of forget. And then we lose the joy. Or can we fight for it, keep it, work on it, be disciplined in its practice? It's the passage from today says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Praise the Lord for the good news that it does all end with a party for those of us in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We also read today in today's scripture that there was a great thunder and shouting of hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. Remember that he didn't just reign back in the time of Jesus. He doesn't just reign now. He reigns forever, from the beginning of time to the end of time. So let's bring the service to a close by singing of God's reign, his forever reign. Please join with us.
You are good when there's nothing